And we're visiting with Brian Hansen, research agronomist up here at the Langdon Research Extension Center. And Brian, all of the research trials, like you were telling me, are kind of under your umbrella. Which one's the most fun this year?
I guess wherever we have a dry spot is kind of fun. It's kind of a weird year, at least right at station. The very top, we haven't had really much moisture for a long time. So the very top, maybe like where we put canola and stuff, it's a little bit dry, but you don't have to go very deep, and it gets really wet and mucky. So you work that up and you get lumps and chunks, and I think some of the farmers are having that issue too, and you get wet holes here and there. So it's been a more enjoyable springs to work to put the crop in.
Yeah. So minimum till is maybe the best thing, or no tillage at all. It seems like the soil surface is mighty dusty. There's a lot of guys raising dust behind the planters.
Yeah, there's not a lot of courses, you know, not a lot of no-till up here. Maybe some more minimum till on the soybean ground they can go into it. So, yeah, the best is as little tillage as you probably could get by with here and try to get into that moisture. So, and we hate to ask for more because we know what happens other years when you want a little bit, you get inches.
Yeah, like last year, or feet, 4 feet of rain. Randy was telling me this is the last year was the, you've been keeping weather records here since 1896. You shattered the record in 2016.
Yeah, especially for it was a whole year. I think we beat the record by the end of September, and of course, a lot of that came during the growing season, so it's one record you don't want to shatter.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the two very interesting and two emerging crops. First, the fava beans. Does that have economic potential for farmers? Is it more in the north?
Yeah, that crop is really more adapted toward probably the northern, third or quarter of North Dakota, like cool growing conditions. And with most new crops, I think we can grow it here very well. It's the marketing end, can we find a home for these beans? So that's kind of out of my realm. I research, can we grow them? We've been doing variety trials last year and this year, and looking at some experimentals from some of the different companies. Planting dates, you like to get them in early as you can, end of April, the first couple weeks in May. If you go into June, you're going to run into problems in the fall because they're long season maturity and the planting rate. They're a big seed, but you only need about 4 or 5 seeds per square foot. So we're kind of looking at that range. And some of that work's been done before at the other up in Canada, but kind of reconfirming that it would be suitable for our conditions here in northern North Dakota. And that's being done in Minot too as well.
Okay, in the we think of beans, whether it's pintos or edibles or whatever, in rows. But are you solid seeding them?
Really haven't looked at it too much. I guess here at Langdon, we're solid seeing him right now, but I don't know if there has been a lot of work done in that. I haven't looked into it, but I think the 6 to 12 or 7 to 15 inch row would certainly yield about the same. Probably wider than that, you're going to lose some yield, but it's another research project list to add to what we need to find out about fava beans for our area.
And this is no small garden of fava beans you have up here. Quite a few acres, huh?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how many acres the farmers are going to put out this year. It's on, I think, contract basis, but there's some going in. Some have a market, so that'll be good for the local farmers to, we work on small plots and you can learn a lot there, but you're not on the field basis, so you kind of miss that what's going on a big field basis. So it's good to get some feedback what's going on there. We can learn from each other.
Yeah. I mean, at the research center here, I know you have like about 20 acres in.
Oh, yeah. We have some foundation seed where some of the companies were increasing some of their seed lots, and pathologist has quite a few disease trials, and then with the trials I have. So, yeah, that's about how many acres we have.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, fava beans. But maybe the crop that's getting all the headlines as an emerging crop is industrial hemp. And you've been researching that here for a few years.
Yeah, we started 2015, and we had a small variety trial, which worked. It was a very good trial that year. And last year, we had a trial too, but we had a couple issues. We had some drift. Roundup drift, I found out, and that was from, quite a ways away because we're pretty careful about spraying close to our plots, but it came from a ways away.
How far away did that Roundup come from?
probably a third of a mile or so. Oh,
all right. So,
and then I found out from my cohort in Canada that hemp is extremely sensitive to hemp, mm-hmm. or Roundup, excuse me. And then later on, we replanted, and then all that rain came, and hemp doesn't like wet feet. So we essentially lost a trial this year, so hopefully we'll have a little better luck this year.
Yeah. It is a fiber and oil, and I mean, it's in cosmetics. So it's industrial hemp. It is, it's quite the crop, isn't it?
Yeah, you look at potential uses for it, and it's over a thousand different uses. And there's cannabinoids, like you say, fiber and oil. I guess right now, probably in the state, looking more at the oil part of it. Even Canada's, even after having it there for 20 years, the fiber industry is kind of slow taking off. But hopefully that would come quicker here if we can get that going. So, yeah, there's a lot of different uses for it. So we're just trying to get our handle on some of the different varieties and practices.
What is the smartest, I know we've got a lot more acres grown in North Dakota. What is the smartest production method? Should it go into light soil? What other tips have you discovered so far?
Well, a lot of it's from what I read, but as weed-free as possible, because there's no herbicides labeled for it. And but once hemp gets going about the middle of June, it grows very rapidly, up to that one year we were measuring up to 20 inches a week. Mm-hmm. So you get a very, if you get a good stand, it, you know, the canopy's over real well, so it chokes a lot of those seeds. But one of the things we've noted, it's very, it has a high mortality rate coming out of the ground. So it's, you seed it about the same depth as canola, and you still get a fair amount of mortality. So to get that good stand is an important part of, I think, a hemp production, to get it going.
What's a good population for hemp then?
Well, the target for grain would be about 12 seeds per square foot. You know, so the
which you got to plant 15 to 18 though,
Or even they say 25% more to get for that. And if you're shooting more for fiber, you would plant more about 20, 25 seeds per square foot. Get a little smaller stock.
Okay. It is a controlled substance, though, so you are under the microscope by the feds here. And what you do, are your research plots behind razor wire, or are they available to be looked at by the public?
Years ago when they were trying, back in the early 2000s, I think Dr. Burton Johnson in Fargo was kind of the lead getting that going, and the DA had set out requirements for wire, and yeah, pretty much what you said. So, but now it's loosened up for that purpose, and you know, it's out on our farm. We still have to get a hemp license through the state, and the rule is, if you're going to go look at the hemp, you need to somebody who has a license to accompany you, mm-hmm. to show it.
And again, marketing is going to be a challenge even for the people who are growing it on a test basis this year.
Yeah, again, that's kind of where the DEA comes in. You know, you can't move it. I think a lot of these rules, I'm not sure, but you know, across state lines, you have to have permits. So you have to have your P's and Q's in order, and then you have to run it through the DEA. So yeah, marketing, if they would allow, you know, hemp and marijuana are two different things because of the low THC. So they could get rid of that part for the industrial hemp part of it. It certainly would make things a lot easier for the hemp industry to grow. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of held back, I think, until that point.
Right. Is it a cool season crop? Does it like heat? And, you know, you said it likes dry. Should we plant it early and kept dry? Or from an agronomist perspective, what's the smart stuff?
Well, it doesn't like too dry, like about any crop, and it doesn't like wet feet. So, and it's a daylight sensitive plant, so you can plant it first or the middle of May or the middle of June, and your yield probably wouldn't be that much different because it flowers according to the sunlight. But what you're getting planting it earlier in May would probably be a taller plant. So maybe if you're more after fiber, you want to plant earlier. I think for what the guys are doing now, you know, towards the end of May, you don't really want it, if you have cooler soil temperatures, you don't really want it to sit in the ground because we talked about that mortality problem. So yeah. Yeah, about around the end of May, probably. That's kind of what we're shooting for, and to optimize it at this time. So.
All right. Well, you're just out there on the cutting edge for a lot of emerging crops up here in the northeast corner of North Dakota. A place where the glaciers were last as they retreated, and it's obvious, quite obvious here with some of the landscape, and you know it's flat, and yet it's rolling, and we got the Pembina Gorge. Yeah. It's a pretty part of the country, and it's a unique part of the country for agricultural research too, I'd assume.
Yeah, been here a lot, 33 years myself, so. It's you have Fargo and you have Langdon, and it can be 10 degrees colder in the summer and in the winter too, unfortunately. So I say Langdon's a great place, like you mentioned, Pembina Gorge, but it is the cold spot in North Dakota up along this region here. So it is a unique environment, but with that comes opportunities to grow some of these different crops as well.
All right. Well, Brian Hansen, research agronomist up here at the Langdon Research Extension Center. Thanks for the work you're doing. And there's going to be a lot of 20 years ago, canola was in its infancy, and all these other crops you're researching now are in their infancy. And so somebody is going to be making money in North Dakota on fava beans and industrial hemp in a decade or maybe less.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's the whole idea of the research center, is to take some of these obscure crops and go with them, and hopefully a farmer can make money at it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brian, thanks for the work you do.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right.